Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 25th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 80, the fifth paragraph, The Chances Are That We Have Domestic Troubles, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Stephanie L. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Penny L. C., Eileen M., and Robin P. The share ID for Tuesday, August 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,619. That's 17619. This morning's Wednesday, August 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 17,625. 17625. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy B. from Oklahoma, and I am very grateful to be here. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you so much, Kathy B. Stephanie L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 11, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 80. The fifth paragraph that begins with the chances are that we have domestic troubles. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Penny LC. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the reading for today. The chances are that we have domestic troubles. Perhaps we are mixed up with women in a fashion we wouldn't care to have advertised. We doubt if, in this respect, alcoholics are fundamentally much worse than other people. But drinking does complicate sex relations in the home. After a few years with an alcoholic, a wife gets worn out, resentful, and uncommunicative. How could she be anything else? The husband begins to feel lonely, sorry for himself. He commences to look around in the nightclubs or their equivalent for something besides liquor. Perhaps he is having a secret and exciting affair with, quote, the girl who understands, end quote. In fairness, we must say that she may understand, but what are we going to do about a thing like that? A man so involved often feels very remorseful at times, especially if he's married to a loyal and courageous girl who has literally gone through hell for him. That's the end of the reading. And so to be able to relate to this paragraph, I can ask myself, what have I done? What domestic troubles am I responsible for? And there is very much an easy answer to that. I created discord within my home. I was not easy to live with, and my husband was subjected to my criticism, my efforts to control him and change him. And it was not pretty at all. And so looking in terms of the other statement here that mentions but drinking does complicate sex relations in the home. Well, compulsive overeating absolutely, caused me to blame, I felt like I lived in resentment of him. All my resentments was because if only he would do this, if only he would do this, I would be fine. I wouldn't feel what I was feeling. I wouldn't be, but it was all selfish, self-centered, dishonest, fearful, all full of fear. All my character defects were running rampant. And this dear man was being subjected to it all. Grateful, so grateful for steps 8 and 9, that I was able to see the truth of the situation, realize I needed to make an amends to him, and not only just a direct amends, but then an ongoing living amends. And I'm so grateful for the way things have changed, thanks to my higher power's direction. And it's a miracle, but those do happen in this program if we continue to follow the directions given. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Penny LC, for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are on page 80, the fifth paragraph. The chances are that we have domestic troubles. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday, we would love to hear you share this morning. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Hi, this is Trey.
Trey, and what's the initial of your first initial of your last name, Trey?
S as in Sam.
Okay. Let me see if there's
Bruce
a few more names.
Florida.
Like. Okay, who from Florida?
Bruce E.
Bruce E, okay. And I heard Laura H. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Yvette. Can I share?
Yes, Yvette.
Yes, ma'am.
And the initial, first initial of your last name, Yvette?
A is in Apple.
A is in Apple. Okay, got you in our lineup here. Anyone else want to get on this list? We can take a couple more names. Okay, I'll stop there. So I have Trey S, Bruce E, Laura H, and Yvette A to start out here. So Trey S, star 1 to unmute, and go ahead, please. Are you there, Trey? Star 1 to unmute.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great.
I'm here.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the meeting. I'm so grateful to be here. And as I listened to that paragraph, it made me think about my domestic relationships of friendship. I recently had an experience with two friends who, they did something that was inconsiderate. I, bought some tickets for an event that I invited them to, said, hey, you can pay me back later. And they both invited other people, which is not a problem, but I wasn't expecting that. And one of them went as far as to invite about 6 other people and then decided she was going to sit with those people instead of sit where we were sitting. So anyway, to make a long story short, she apologized. The other one was totally miffed. She was so confused. She didn't know what was going on. But the point is, I was upset. I felt that what they did was very inconsiderate. And then talking to my sponsor, she helped me to recognize my side, which was in relationships, sometimes I have an expectation. And I know that expectations are a setup for resentment and bitterness. And instead of looking at what they had done, I have to make sure that every time a conflict comes up that I am looking at my side, that I am looking at, did I have some expectations that were unrealistic? Did I have expectations, period? And was I trying to orchestrate and create this scenario and this play of how everything was going to play out? And I wish I could say that I'm never going to do that again, but I know that as I work these steps and as I work this program with my sponsor, I'm more cognizant of not doing that. You know, if a friend and I decide to go out to dinner, I have to make sure I don't have this play and this three-hour drama planned out before we even get there, because that's what I've done in the past. I've had these fantasies and these dramas played out in my head, and then when they don't happen, they fall short. You know, if I plan trips or if I go on a trip with friends, I'm expecting for things to go this way, but here's reality. That's me. That's not the other four people involved. And then when they don't go that way, I have the nerve, I have the audacity to get upset or be disappointed. And I might not show it, but internally I do. And that's my side of the street that I am working on keeping clean in my domestic relationships, watching these expectations, not trying to create outcomes, but just remembering I'm powerless over other people, places, things, and situations, especially in relationships. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Trey S. Good morning, Bruce E. You are up, followed by Laura H. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered food addict. I'm down in Florida. Out of town here for about 5-6 weeks. Missed some calls. I ended up driving from Florida out to Denver and got into, ended up in the hospital out there. So, but I'm back on my feet. Not 100%, but I'm probably 90% today. So I'm grateful for that. So I'm doing much better. Well, it's a good part of the big book, that's for sure. Been married 37 years. Haven't gone out of my wife, but I thought about it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get on this line and lie about things here. I want to be as truthful as I can be without being real weird about things. But anyway, what has my part been, though, in this marriage? You know, how have I been? You know, what kind of a person have I been? Have I been a man of integrity? You know, well, I slipped a few times on that in my thinking. But I've caught it and surrendered it. I'm not an easy guy to live with either. I think my wife is probably a lot easier person to live with than I am, and I really need to work on that. So I have a problem with wearing my emotions on my sleeve. If I'm not feeling well, I want to make sure I let her know that, and want to be sure that she knows all my woes and problems and self-pity. But, you know, I've been pretty good about getting back to getting down on my knees in the morning and really surrendering this, the negatives, all the stuff that needs to be surrendered. There's so much of it. And doing that in the morning, that really helps a lot. And trying to be a better person to live with, you know, not a jerk, you know. I am so selfish. And so working on that, trying to surrender to selfishness and trying to, and you know, what's funny is I'll go ahead and help somebody in the 12-step program, right? And then I'll neglect my wife. So, I mean, I think that ought to come first and hit the other next, but do both, you know, and, that's what I'm going to do today. I make a commitment to be a person of integrity and treat my wife well. And that's how I can do my living amends is I know when I went through the steps at one point, I've gone through them a number of times, and I went through the steps and the guy says, I want to do this amends with my wife. He says, why don't you just do a living amends? Why don't you just start living better, you know? In other words, just show it in how you live, you know? Just live better, you know, and try to serve your wife. It's hard to do. You know, I can go out and serve other 12-step people. That's a lot easier than serving my wife. I don't feel like doing that. I feel like serving people in 12-steps. I don't really feel like serving my wife. But I got to do that. That's my job here. So thank you for the call. Thank you, everybody, sharing on the call. And I pass. Okay, not hearing anybody. Are you there with us, moderator?
Well, okay, sorry, I somehow,
oh,
sorry,
okay.
Bruce.
I started thinking I lost muted. My whole share, entire share was gone.
No, you didn't. I had said time, and I'm like, how come he's ignoring me? Okay, thanks so much, Bruce. Okay, sorry. Laura H., you're up, followed by Yvette A. Go ahead, please, Laura.
Hi, good morning. This is Lauren H. from California.
Lauren, sorry. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah, no problem. Good morning, and thanks for everyone for their shares already and for all that we give us each day and today. Domestic troubles. You know, I can relate to this. When I just went through the steps again, most of my amends were within my family, and especially my husband. And because of, not because of what's been said in this particular chapter, but because of my character defects, my selfishness, really ignoring my husband. And self, because I'm in self, so I don't like my body. I'm not interested in him, you know. Because I don't feel good, or I've overeaten and I feel too fat and I just want to get in bed, or I'm busy exercising. all ends of the spectrum, and I'm in my food, I'm buying my food. You know, same with my kids, my two girls. I spend a lot of time in my disease where I'm buying the food, I'm cooking the food, I'm eating the food, I'm cleaning up the food, and then I'm hating myself while I'm exercising the food away. And when I did my amends this past time to my husband, I texted my sponsor the next few days and I said, you know, my husband's changed. And I knew it was kind of a joke, but really, he just seems happier and nicer. And he wasn't. He was exactly him. God had just come into my heart and is helping me one day at a time to be considerate of him and our relationship, and you know, make some time for all the things, my to-dos and program. Last night, my kids wanted to play a game, and I still had a bunch of stuff I wanted to do. And so I give it to say, see, in 5 minutes, I'm able to play a game, and 5 minutes, I do all my own selfish stuff, and then I pause and I give my kids time. So one day at a time, asking God to help me with my ideals. I pray for them in the morning. To get out of self and self-seeking and dishonesty. Yeah, so I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lauren H. And Yvette A., before you start, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 80, the fifth paragraph. The chances are that we have domestic troubles, and I'll be taking some more names after Yvette. So go ahead, please, Yvette. Star one to unmute, Yvette.
Hi, this is Yvette, compulsive overeater. Domestic trouble. So I live alone, but what I can tell you is as a direct result, not working my program, not working 10 and 11 consistently, not working on my relationship with my higher power, the anger and resentment that came out of me, like coming, it came out of my pores. And it, rather I was on calls for work, or if I had issues in my personal life that I had to make phone calls on, the anger would be directed towards these people like daggers. And I see that now, and I felt completely disconnected from higher power, from meetings, from everything. And that was all a direct result from not working my steps and not being consistent with my program. So that's all I wanted to say, is it's funny how I can look back now and see, like I see myself directing this anger to these people, and it was just ugly. I was just ugly to people. And so I can imagine if I did have people living with me, what that would have been like. So I'm just so grateful that I'm doing much better now, that I'm actually working my steps with a good sponsor, and I'm doing my part. So I'm just grateful you guys are here, and that's it. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvette A. Okay, we are on page 80. The fifth paragraph, the chances are that we have domestic troubles. And if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready to take your name. Who'd like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Veronica B.
A.
Veronica B. And was there an A in there?
Esther K.
Oh. Esther K. Okay.
Lauren G.
Lauren G.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Elaine B.
Okay. We will stop there. I have Sherry K. B., Veronica B., Esther K., Lauren G., Janice K., and Elaine B. Go ahead, Sherry K. B. in California.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K. B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O. and Team Wednesday. You know, when I first started looking at these paragraphs on page 81, I was directed to, when I read these, we're told not to look at them like a martyr. That was the first thing that I was told way back. And, you know, because I couldn't relate at first, and I could always think about what he did or whatever. And when I looked at it with new eyes, fresh eyes, going through this book in this way, and thinking about, you know, how I had eaten at my husband for years, and you're eating at him and anyone else, you know, for years and years and years, and never thinking that by my eating couldn't be as bad as some of the other things that other people did, didn't realize how it destroyed relations. Had no idea, really, had no clue. And just looking at how, back on that, and how I was walked through this, it's amazing to me, and that, you know, I really get compulsive overeating does mess up relationships, and I never thought it did. I minimized it because I thought drinking was worse, and it's not. It's really the same thing. And then, again, I can remember talking to someone who does the big book, and I would say, well, you know, he did this and he did that. And she would say, well, what did you do? And I'd say, well, I didn't do anything. And she'd say, well, what were you thinking? I went, well, that's different. And she goes, no, it's not. It's not different. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, because I used to say if anybody ever listened to my thoughts in my head, I'd be on death row in San Quentin. So, you know, this really took on a whole new meaning for me. And, you know, I've had men in my life talk to them about stuff and had relations with them, not sex relations, but relations with the guy that understood. So I had to turn it around, like, you know, what about the guy that understood me? Poor me. You know, poor me another hot fudge sundae. And you know what? God's not in this at all. That's what I've noticed, too, is God is not in this paragraph at all. And so I know that I need to turn to God in all my affairs, and I need to look at my relations and look at what is the ideal partner, what is the ideal wife that I can be with my husband, or ideal friend, or, you know, whatever. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB in California. And Veronica B, you're up, followed by Esther K. Hi, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Domestic troubles. I definitely have had domestic troubles in my time in recovery. I'm easily triggered, and I let people get to me. And one of my biggest problems is that I have a total dependence on people, and I look to others to fulfill me and to validate me and to make me feel better about myself. And it's just, I have this addict mind that I look outside for outside things to make me feel better on the inside. And for me, this whole paragraph is about, I've never cheated on a man in recovery. But for me, this paragraph is about honesty, like living an honest life. And it's about putting my, you know, selfishness aside and, you know, doing this work to let God change me, doing this work to let the steps change me. Because my compulsive eating destroyed every area of my life. It kept me from being present with you. It kept me from living in the day. It kept me from, you know, creating memories and remembering things. Because, I mean, I have a bad memory, and I blame that on, like, always being in the food or thinking about the food and thinking about my next binge. And just it robbed me of the present moment. And so I get to work these steps and have a new relationship with God. And today I get to depend on God. I depend on Overeaters Anonymous. I have spiritual guides all around me so that I can change, so I can let God change me, because I cannot do it on my own. I need God's help. And this book is filled with asking God for help. Everywhere I look in this book is higher power or God. I must ask for God's help to help me every single day. Carry his vision, let him work through me so that I can do his will today. Not my will. My will is I want things my way when I want them, how I want them. I want them now. I want to feel good now. You know, and that's what the food did to me. I knew how to feel good. I just would eat my binge foods. Today, I get to feel good by working these steps, by trusting God, and by helping others. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Esther K., you're up, followed by Lauren G. Good morning, Esther.
Hi, this is Esther K. from Chicago, recovering compulsive eater. It's domestic trouble. Of course, everybody's talking about it, but it's like amazing how the person we love the most, the person we are closest to, that's the person that that all of my character defects come into play. And I think that the beauty of this program is that when I do my work and when I really did my amends, like step four, and living the amends, which is step 10 and 11, and really working on it, then really things do change. Things do change, and like someone else said also, that when my attitude and the way I treat other people changes, they quote-unquote change too. And really, that's what they were all along. But when they're dealing with an addict like me, then they go to some kind of a protection mode or attack mode or whatever it is. So when I do my amends and I change, then these domestic troubles really do settle. And does it happen overnight? Of course it does not happen overnight. I have a lot of work to do on myself when it's a daily work, and hopefully, you know, I see, I'm seeing and will see more and more improvement. But I'm very grateful to have a husband where I can, quote unquote, practice my program, and then from that learn also how to relate to others. And one of the big things for me was is still learning to, on the one hand, to be loving and kind and giving, but on the other hand, also setting some boundaries, which are, for me, it's one of the hardest things to do. So, and again, with a person who's the closest, it's the best practice. And thank God for this unbelievable program that helps us to fix these relationships and make them so much better and make us be so much better through working it. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Esther K. in Chicago, Illinois. And Lauren G., you're up, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Lauren.
Hi, good morning. This is Lauren G. from Detroit. Yeah, domestic disturbances and domestic troubles. I recently got divorced this year, and I, you know, I've been doing a lot of work using this program to, you know, unpack what happened in my marriage. And I was not in recovery for most of my marriage, and so, of course, I was incredibly self-centered and incredibly selfish. At one point, I remember my ex telling me that they thought that the whole marriage was about me. It was just, the whole thing was about me, and they were right. They were right, and that's what I do, and that's what I struggle with. Even while I'm, you know, in program right now, and I'm, you know, in recovery, I still feel that inside of me. You know, I still kind of feel like, this is probably always going to be something that I have to work on, right? But, you know, moving forward, I will have program, and I will have the tools, and I will, you know, I have this information where I know that this is who I am, and that I am an addict, and that I need a program to be able to, you know, have good relationships. And, you know, most of my life, all of my life, I've been an addict. And so all of my relationships leading up to my marriage, and including my marriage, were pretty bad. And they were mostly bad because of me. And I'm not saying that in terms of like self-pity, but I mean, it takes two to tango, but I definitely see my responsibility in all of my relationships. And it was primarily that I was, you know, incredibly selfish and self-centered. And, you know, I have to admit, it's hard to forgive myself for that. And I'm working on that a lot. It's hard to forgive and accept that's who I was, and that's what I did to somebody that I, you know, to somebody that I cared about, to somebody that I was really close to. So that's really a lot, but I've got this program, and I'm slowly working through it, and I can feel the tiny changes. I can feel the tiny shifts towards healing, and that is a miracle. You know, that's a miracle, and I just feel very grateful for that, and very grateful for this program.
With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lauren G. in Detroit, Michigan. Janice K., you're up, followed by Elaine B. Good morning, Janice.
Hello. Can I hear you?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, my. Domestic troubles, huh? Yeah. Been there, done that. No fun. No fun at all. But we are limited human beings, and regardless what our domestic situation is, we will find ourselves having trouble from time to time. I guess the first thing I would say is intimacy is way more than sex. I used to think at my then spouse, if you're not my friend outside the bedroom, don't try to be cozy with me when you're in it. Unfortunately, my marriage did not survive my early program or his early program. I sometimes think he got sober, I got sane. We looked at each other and said, what have we done? So, sadly, sometimes recovery means separation. The best way to avoid it is to take the spouse on the journey with you. If the spouse chooses to drop out at some point, well, that would be their choice. Doesn't have to be mine, ours, yours. There were two things that caused me to evaluate the relationship and finally make the decision to go it on my own. The first was the statement, if what you have now is enough, then stay. If what you have now is all you ever have, is it enough? And the second statement, it was, you won't do anything until the pain of where you are is greater than your fear of losing, of leaving, of losing your relationship and losing the security. For me, it was it was his paycheck. Oh, that's dreadful, but it's true. But it says in the paragraph, the spouse begins to feel sorry for themselves. They commence to look around for companionship, is basically what they're saying. So cheating is an interesting concept. Basically, it means who or what am I choosing first? Marriage means I choose the spouse. Cheating means I choose someone else. I can also choose food. I can choose myself. I can choose a lot of things before I choose my partner. So, anyway, that's my experience, strength, and kind of a reverse hope. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. And Elaine B., you are up. And after Elaine, I'll have time for one more share. Good morning, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Oh, good morning. This is Elaine B., recovered compulsive overeater, and extraordinarily grateful. Here in Massachusetts, in 2004, January 1st, I ate cake, an engagement cake. And then the day after that, I went into the rooms of OA because I didn't want to wear a size 28 wedding gown. And started a journey in the steps. So grateful where I moved. Excuse me. They have all addiction big book studies that a lot of people were involved in. And so I started going to those and started working the steps. The process that I used was very slow. Spent a couple years working on the inventory, and that sponsor didn't make it. So another one. And anyway, I spent 6 years working on the first part of my fourth step. And during that time, I was restless, irritable, and discontent, and I was living in the problem, not in the solution quite so much. And I decided to go out. I decided that, you know, God and me were enough. The relationship I had with God was enough. Well, I was so grateful to learn that it wasn't enough. But what ended up happening was my husband said to me, after a year of intense relapse, where, you know, I had food hidden all over the house and was also drinking wine on a regular basis. That was kind of one of the things that helped draw me out. So that's only sugar in a glass, I remember a dear friend in program saying, but I didn't want to hear it. So he wrote me a letter and he said, "You've taken on a new lover." So here it was, I was the one. And he said, "And it's food." And, you know, we'll live together in the same house. Divorce is not an option, but you have a new lover and it's food. So we just need to sort of, I need to separate myself from you. And my brain was so befogged, I just didn't even get it. I just stuck that letter somewhere. I found it a year later. I started, you know, continued on a decline, found the steps about day 45 of 90 days of meetings. Somebody gave me the number for Vision for You. And within 4 months, I had gotten through the steps and taken on my first sponsee. And my life began to change, you know. And I found that letter a year later. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I don't even remember this. And I put it away. And I continued to work the steps. I continued to work a sane food plan. I continued to learn to love. I continued to look at my character defects and try the best that I can with God's help to allow God to do for me what I couldn't do for myself, with the food, with my disappointments, with my everything, you know, throughout the day, resentments and fears and insecurities and everything, and accountable with my food. And 2 years, you know, a second year went by, and I found that letter that he wrote, and I was shocked because I felt it, and I saw it, and I had to bring it to him, and I had to say, I'm so sorry. I finally could make amends because I saw it. When I gave it to him, he said, "I don't even remember reading. I don't ever remember writing this." So God can change us that much if we come, if we stay, and if we work this program. God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. Almost put you in California. So we have a couple minutes. Would anyone like to do a 2-minute share? Okay. No takers? Okay. Well, then we will close the meeting so we can get some. If you're
Hi,
new, we'll take your
I'm
name
Kathy
number.
B from New Jersey. Can I share?
Yes, you have about 2 minutes, Kathy. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I've been divorced for 33 years, and I've been in many relationships. I always back off from them after a while. I live alone right now. And anyway, I've been absent for a week. I had 2 months before that. But my life is changing so much. I just resigned from a job that I worked at for 12 years, and I'm looking for another job. And I really feel like that is God. And because of the fact that I put down the food and I'm not hiding, even though it's hard and scary, you know, I'm doing the footwork and looking for another job, which I was really upset in the other job for a long time. So anyway, I hurt a lot of people. You know, I put walls up. You know, I can see my part in my marriage. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Kathy. I think it was Kathy B.
Yes, Kathy B. from New Jersey.
From New Jersey. Thank you so much, Kathy B. from New Jersey. Okay, we are going to close the meeting this morning. Thank you so much for everyone who shared this morning. And thank you, special thanks for Team Wednesday this month of August. We're going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.